Little boy in kindergarten said to his teacher, "I know the alphabet now. What am I supposed to do with it?" That's a pretty insightful little boy. Sometimes I think that it's that way with the Bible or with other things. What are we supposed to do with it? You and I. How often we sing many of the hymns we sing over and over. And I wonder if sometimes we sing them so often, we really fail to think of what they are saying. A man named Heber, Reginald Heber, I never heard of him before, but he wrote these words. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee. Casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who were and are and nevermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory cannot see, only thou art holy, there is none beside. Perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. 189 years ago, man wrote that wonderful hymn. I noticed I have 5 hymn books at home, and it's number 1 in each one. Holy, holy, holy. I'm going to read some scripture that I'm sure you're familiar with, or at least should be. Found in the Gospel of John. Very first verse. Very first chapter. It reads thusly, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to read once more the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, and without him, was not anything made that was made. Does that bother you, mind? God came to earth. God came to earth and visited his chosen people. And verse 11 sums up the results of the creator of the universe's visit to his creation and to those that he created in his own image. And it reads, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Probably the saddest words in the scripture. I want us this morning to think together about this visitor with two things in mind. He came once, and this book tells us all about it. Bible. Creator came once. And he's coming again. And this book tells us all about that as well. This truth got me to thinking. The shape our nation and our churches and our race is in, we're in so much trouble today. It's all really because so many, just like when John wrote about it, are not willing to receive this one who came. His name is Jesus. The Logos. The Word. The triune God of this holy book is still not welcome on planet Earth. Let's talk about this for a few minutes. Let's talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 28. The last verses. We read the first verses of the Gospel of John. We're going to read the last verses of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with verse 16. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Resurrected Lord appointed to meet them there. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because I have this power. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
It's what we call the Great Commission. We have all kinds of labels, don't we? But this is Jesus telling his people what they must do. Call it the Great Commission. Call it whatever you wish. In verse 18, knowing that some still doubted, can you imagine the risen Lord standing before and some still doubted? Knowing that some still doubted, Jesus emphasizes the fact that he is God. All power is given unto me. Jesus Christ is God. Only God, you see, has total and absolute sovereign power in and over the universe he created. Amen? It is for this very reason, beloved, and this very reason alone, that we who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are challenged to go to all nations and to teach the truth and to baptize all of those who accept that truth into the family of God. Verse 20 emphasizes the fact that the church is to first teach others the truth, and that the church is to further observe those very same teachings themselves before a lost and dying world. Amen? You don't just go and teach, you live it before them. Amen? You know, we, my friends, are his only witnesses. You say, you mean just these people in the church? I mean the people who've been born again. How are we born again? According to Jesus, in the third chapter of this Gospel of John, we're born again through the Holy Spirit, the new birth. The Father, the Creator, the Christ who came and died for us, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in your salvation. The triune God, the mystery of the Trinity, alive and well in every born-again Christian. We don't act that way sometimes, do we? His church is to both teach others and to be an example of what they teach others. The message God has for you and I today is this. The triune God who spoke everything into existence dwells in the body of the church that he is building as I speak. One of the greatest explanations of the mystery of the Trinity of the God of Christianity is found in the following event. It's recorded, it's recorded in the Book of Devotions by J. Sidwell Baxter, and I want to share it with you. This is his personal testimony about a great man of God. He writes, many years ago, the saintly F.B. Meyer was returning to England for my preaching engagement in Northern Ireland. The ship crossed from Belfast to Liverpool, and the landing was at night. As the lights of Liverpool began to sparkle and twinkle far ahead, Dr. Meyer and a few others were standing on the deck just near the bridge. The night was very dark. The November air was damp and chilling. The yellow lights along the city front and the adjoining coastline were making shivering reflections in the greasy looking water. It did not give the homiest of welcomes to Lancashire. But it was the seeming calm of the lights which bothered Dr. Meyer, and he called up to the bridge, "Captain, however do you know which way to steer with that confusing mass of lights in front of you?" The captain called him to come up to the bridge, and then he said, "You see, sir, it's really very simple at night. I'll show you how. Do you see the big light over there to the left? And now do you see the big light over there to the right? And now do you see that third big light there in the middle? And do you know that that third light is still further away than the other? Well, now keep your eye on those three lights and see what happens." Dr. Meyer did so. Soon the big arc of light on the left gradually moved to the center, and the big light on the right gradually moved to the center. "There now," said the boatman. "All I have to do is to see that those three big lights become one. And when those three lights become one, then all I have to do is go straight ahead." Isn't that an interesting analogy, maybe, of Holy Spirit? The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and you get in this book and you see how they all line up. All you have to do, Christian, is go straight ahead. This is a beautiful picture of the principle put forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? Until the new birth, till that spiritual birth that Christ speaks of to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's Gospel, until that new birth, the fact of God as Father and Jesus as Savior and Holy Spirit makes no sense. Never did make any sense to me. I didn't really care when I was lost. I was like that fella wondering how to get home because of all those lights. Then when they lined up, I confessed my sin. God showed me the path. Find it in this book.
Right.
You find a path in this book.
Yeah.
You don't find it in the guy preaching. I can preach from this book, but you have to find it yourself. I can't find it for you. BT can't find it for you. Mom and Dad can't find it for you. How do you find it? Well, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, let me tell you. You must be born again." That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You say, "Well, preacher, we hear this all the time." I know people hear it over and over again. But do they line up the lights A lot of lost people out there, amen. We're supposed to help them line up the lights. Until the new birth, the spiritual birth that Christ speaks of to Nicodemus, we'll never understand salvation. We'll never understand the Trinity. We'll never understand the Bible. The explanation of this unity and cooperation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is found in the very first book, the very first book of the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now listen, maybe if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, listen with new ears. Listen carefully. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And this is what they like to argue about. How old the earth is, and that did we come from a fish that walked up out of the sea, or were the monkeys our ancestors, and on and on and on. And let me tell you something. Here's the important thing. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. God, the Holy Spirit, you mean the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation? Of course. Of course. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Where's the Son? Oh, the Son's over here. Listen. Verse 26, the same chapter, first chapter, verse. What it says. And God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? Who is God talking to? Let us make man in our image. See, Jesus, we like to think Jesus came as a human baby because we're human. No. No, we look like we look because of how Jesus looked.
That's right.
And so he said, son, I've got a job for you, but I'm going to create a race of people who are going to pay me honor and glory. And worship me. I'm going to make them just like you. And that's why Jesus came as a human being. We're like him. Only the lost. And that's why he came to save us. Because we are God's image. And God is not going to allow the evil one to send his image to hell without a fight. You believe that? I wonder if we do. I wonder if we really take it seriously. I think that's why little children are so much easier to win to the Lord Jesus than adults. You get a little guy up on the well house, like we had in our first place when we came here to Springfield, and you're out mowing the lawn, and he climbs up on the roof. He said, Daddy, catch me! And you stop the mower, and you go over there where he breaks his neck, and he jumps. You know what? He knows you're going to catch him. He knows you're going to catch him. Amen? No, no doubt in his mind, his dad's going to catch him. Well, I'll tell you what, there should be no doubt in the Christian's mind that their daddy is going to catch him.
Amen.
So, we see here this cooperation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit moved in creation. Human race was created in the image of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad God and Jesus had that conversation.
Amen.
God created the human race to look exactly like Jesus. He created Adam and then Eve to produce a race just like his Son. How sad that they didn't believe him. Remember what he told them? Eat it, they'll die. They believed the devil instead, didn't they? That's why we're where we are today. That's why we need the new birth. So the whole thing right there, you say, well, that's just a Bible story. Well, okay. You just think about it. How sad that they doubted God's word. How sad that men and women and boys and girls die and go to hell because they don't believe the word of God. Do you believe it this morning? How sad we read this truth in our Matthew text this morning. Think about it. Jesus had been born, taught, preached, and he had been crucified and resurrected from the grave. He now stood before them in our Matthew reading, and it says, and some didn't believe. Some still. That's so typical of we human beings. You gotta prove it to me, and then when you prove it to me, I still want it my way. Listen now and think. I want to go give you an example of the human race found in Hebrews. I know you're taking you to a lot of scripture this morning, but I think this is important. The writer of Hebrews is reminding them of something. In the third chapter, beginning with verse 12. And I want you to just realize this doesn't affect just these people he's addressing. This affects you and me and our children and our grandchildren and on and on and on. Take heed, brethren, beginning with verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. That's my job. As your pastor, as a shepherd, to exhort you, to remind you, just as he is here. Exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. The only thing keeping you from going to heaven when you die, it's not sin, it's unbelief. Unbelief that Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are involved in a new, exciting, dynamic birth awaiting you as the Holy Spirit draws you, tells you, you know the preach is right. You know you can't have your own way. You know you've got to yield to Jesus if you want to go to heaven. They could not enter the promised land because of what? Unbelief. This book itself proves page after page after page the truth of its pages. God wrote it. Believe it. The Father who spoke this universe into existence, the Son in whose name, image you are made, born into in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit who wrote this very book from which I preach this morning and which draws you, if you will but listen, if you will but believe, to Jesus who will save you. The mystery of the Holy Trinity not only made plain, but insisting that we believe God's word, God's spoken word, the universe around us. Amen? And God said, let there be. And God said, and God said, and God said. The spoken word, the written word, this book from which I read this morning, and the living word, the Logos, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most amazing and astounding fact is that through confession of sin and sincere repentance, this triune God will come and will dwell in sinners like you and like me forever and ever, world without end. Amen and amen. I close with this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I beg you this morning, if you are not a Christian, do some comprehension.